between the fast day and the fact that Shlomo HaMelech uttered 24 different expressions for prayer and supplication and song unto God, the answer is he was Hatzoras because of the fact that the doors to the temple would not open and the ark couldn't come in. So because he was in great distress, this is why he prayed. And therefore, if Shlomo HaMelech is in distress and prays, so therefore on the fast day, we also follow the example that when we're in great distress, we add additional brachas. Okay? Okay, so let's just finish, okay? So now the Gemara says, if that's the case, so why shouldn't we say it every day? After all, we have our own problems. So let's say 24 problems.
Say more. Yeah.
So the answer is, when, after all, did Shlomo say it? Says, in the day when he needed special favors, special supplications. So, so therefore, on those days in which we too must utter a special supplication because there is drought, there isn't enough rainfall to offer, to give us food, that's when we add it, but not on a normal basis. Okay, we shall stop at this particular point. And in Yetzah Hashem, we'll meet next week again after Mincha.
So we're on Chof Tes.
Yeah, we're on Chof Tes, right down the middle of the page.
Right in the middle of the page. Okay. That's just to mark it on the...
Okay, anyway, we're ready to start where we have the first big line over there. Okay? All right. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Meyein Shmona Esrei. Rabbi Yoshua says that we should say a digest, so to speak, of the Shmona Esrei. Okay? If you remember, going back to the original Mishnah, it says over there that every day we should say 18 brachas, okay? This was the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, and of course this is the normal practice that we follow. But Rabbi Yoshua, as usual, disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel, as we saw at times the two of them had some terrible disagreements. This, hopefully, was a very nice disagreement, but Rabbi Yoshua said you could say a digest of the Shmona Esrei, and then of course Rabbi Akiva came along and he tried to make a pshara, and he says, if you know how to do the davening and so on, you should say the 18, but if you're not so bahavant, as we would say in Yiddish, in other words, you're not so accustomed, that you don't know the nusach of the prayer, then in that case you could use the digest, right, the short form. But the question is, what is the short form? This is what the Gemara now is about to discuss. What is Me'ein Shmona Esrei, a digest of the Shmona Esrei? So that's what the Gemara says. My Me'ein Shmona Esrei. So tell me, what is a digest of the Shmona Esrei? So Rav Omar, Rav's opinion is that it is Me'ein Kol Brocha Brocha. He said that what you do is to simply shorten each and every brocha, but you wind up at each and every bracha, with the proper ending. This is his opinion. In other words, let's say if we say, this is our version, right? But he would say, something like that, you see. We don't have the nusach written out for us, but this is what he had in mind. And then you go to the next one, let's say, in other words, sort of like you would simply state the main little theme in a couple of words, and then you say the bracha. This was Rav's opinion. No sitter has it. this is why I have to assume that this is actually what he had in mind, because it's what Rashi says. He says simply Meyen Kol Brocha. What does it mean? He says Omer Bekotzer. In other words, he says very shortly what is the theme, and Borech Al Kol Achas V'Yachas, and he makes the Brocha for each and every one of them. So this was Rav's opinion. Shmuel's opinion happens to be in this case the one actually which was adopted. Shmuel Omar, what does Shmuel say? This is that special bracha that I've already shown you in the Birnbaum, and also it's quoted in some other Siddurim as well, and that is a bracha which includes all the basic themes. Avineinu ad Hashem Elokeinu l'das ruach echad, give us the understanding, O Lord our God, to know thy ways. It's of course it's Atochenu l'das. Do you see where we are?
It's
the second right. Umol es lovaveinu liyavasecho, and literally circumcise our hearts, that you know, we may fear you. Sislach lonu, and you should forgive us. Leos ge'ulim, that we may be redeemed. Of course, it's already just in these couple of words, we have already the themes of several of the brothers. And also remove from us our illnesses. Literally means take us far away from illness, but you know, in other words, remove from us illness.
Yeah,
that's like refoino.
No, in our version, I think it's just mim ka'ab. There's no
mim achoveinu.
Does it have einu in ours?
Sure.
No, I mean the siddur.
I don't think so. Well, we can take a look. If you want to get the Birnbaum, we'll see how close it is. It may be that he changed a word or two, you know.
Does that appear at the end of the Shimon Esrei?
Right. At the conclusion, and right. And he tells you that in case of an emergency, you may use the shortened version. Right.
Morning prayer.
It's right at the conclusion of the Shimon Esrei, has it?
Somewhere here.
Yeah,
separate question which doesn't really pertain. When we use the word circumcised heart, mol means to cut around. I mean, is that we translate in English circumcised? I mean, does it mol mean cut, or has it got some symbolic meaning?
No, actually, of course, here, the terminology is symbolic. I mean, this we understand. All right, so he left out the ending anu.
Yeah.
But as I said, I mean, you know, sometimes Birnbaum plays around a little bit with the words.
Yeah, there's a number of differences.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The question is, would you circumcise anything other than the foreskin? Would you use the word mol in any other application?
No, but the Bible uses the expression molis lebovedum
subject.
Okay, but that's
right.
But the only literal application.
Correct.
Mankind.
In other words, from the point of view of the Torah, and of course the idea is repeated again in the prophets as well, okay? The idea is that our heart is basically good, but there is something attached to the heart which prevents it from being merciful and loving and so on. And this is what we ask God that He should remove from us. So this is the terminology of the Torah.
It wouldn't be used for any a piece of fruit, right?
No, you wouldn't circumcise a piece of fruit.
No.
Okay, no, it's used only in that connection. Right, okay.
But it was a digression.
Although I have to tell you, I think that, you know, a person who wants to study Mila, he has to practice cutting. So he practices on vegetables until he begins to... to develop a skill.
or a pencil.
Whatever.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Little aside. But in reality, as I say, it's a biblical expression. You find it in, Devarim, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And then the prophets repeat the same idea. So. Okay, so... which means, and literally, fatten us in the meadows of thy land. Of course, this is, you know, Baruch Aleinu, and so on and so forth, right? We pray, you know, that we have a land which will be blessed with fatness. Neither to say, I don't have to tell you, the land can have all the fat that it wants. Of course, it refers to fertility and plenty of food and everything else. Back in the old days, the Torah was not that concerned about calorie counting.
It wasn't cholesterol free.
Right. On the contrary, I mean, something that was fat was considered tasty.
That was the choice parts.
Naturally, it means, you know, and gather those of us who are exiled, who are scattered all over the world, from the four corners, shall you gather together. And may those who err in knowledge of thee be judged. This is, of course, you know, Hashiv Shoten for Rishonov, Yotzeh Matfilo, and so on. Okay? Vial Horishoyim Tanif Yodecho, and may you raise your hand over the wicked. This, of course, is what I'm Malshinim. The Yisbechu Tzadikim, and may the righteous rejoice, of course, that is Allah Tzadikim. The Vinyan Erecho, this is the Yerushalayim Yercho, right? With Sikun Hecholecho, which is the same thing, in other words, the building of thy city, and in the restoration of thy temple. And this, of course, is a Semach David, right? And which means literally, and may David's horn be exalted or flourish. But you know, this again is a very literary symbol. Don't take it word for word, you see. But what it means is may David flourish. David thy servant, and also may literally the light of the son of Jesse, meaning David of course, thy anointed, be firm. Terem nikra atosane, even before we call upon you, may you answer our prayers. This of course is Shema Keleinu, and incidentally the phrase Terem nikra atosane, this we say specifically on a fast day. If you remember,
In the
Shemona Esrei, right. Anenu ad Hashem Anenu. And then the phrase occurs over there. Tev Nikra, Elef Anenu Atos Anenu. Right. Before we call, you should answer us. Baruch Atu ad Hashem, Shomea Tfilo. Blessed art thou, Lord, who hearkens unto prayer. And of course, what Shmuel is saying then is that this intermediate bracha should be recited in place of the 13 brachas that we have in the middle, but naturally it has to be preceded by the first three brachas and it has to be followed by the last three brachas. In other words, if you're going to recite Havineinu and be Yotze with it, you first have to say, Obeis, Guburos, Kedushas Hashem, and then follow it with Ritzei and Modim and Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav.
Sorry, I have to ask about Karen.
Yes.
Is this figuratively like an animal that would prevail, or is it a drinking horn, or is it a horn?
No.
Well, Karen could also mean Ray, right? I mean, it could be a Ray
of
Ray instead of
correct.
Karen,
correct.
Karen Svi, or something
right.
I'm familiar with. So,
The point is, however, that the horned animals were considered to be very powerful. This was a sign of their power, their potency,
prevail,
whatever you want to say. Okay,
prevail.
Right. So that this is what we
okay,
mean.
Okay, so
right.
The animals. Okay.
Yeah.
Phil, are you saying that the shortened form? You say you start with the kedusha.
You say ovos, kivuros.
Instead of the brachos in between that and let's say Ritzei.
Right.
You
in other words, Samato Chayin Leilam Daas up through the end, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atefila. Instead of saying all those brachas, this one bracha covers all that territory.
Then you go on with
Ritzei. Exactly. Right. Who uses it? Okay. All right. Historically, after all, we're dealing with, and you notice, that all the material that we're covering shows that, first of all, as I explained to you, there was no fixed sitter yet at this time, but, there was a generally accepted nusach of prayers, okay? Whether to say the whole thing or only the short one, this would make sense, number one, in an age when there were no siddurim, and not everybody perhaps was adept to remembering all the different brachas, okay? So that, therefore, under most circumstances, it was permissible to use the shortened form. So that's number one. But secondly, as a result of the Gemara over here, and how they discuss the tzius and so on, so it became a din that in an emergency, illness, or you had to leave very early, for work, and you just didn't have time to daven a complete Shemoneh Esrei or something like that, so you could use this and you were yotze with this. But as we'll see, there were certain occasions when they felt that you cannot use this, okay? And we'll see in a moment, what are the times of the year when we cannot be yotze by using this, because we add special things. Havdalah, Motzoi Shabbos, and Kalamoto the Brocha during that time of the year when we have to say that. Yeah. Okay, so let us continue right now. All right. So we see then that according to Rav, he had a different idea of what Mayein Shmoneh Esrei is. According to him, it means just say a few words of the theme of the bracha, but each individual bracha had to be recited. Whereas Shmuel said, let's use a comprehensive bracha, which will cover all the material from Atah Chonein right through Shomea Tfilot. Now, Layat Allah Abaye, Aman Nematzli Havinena. Abaye literally cursed, but please, it's too strong an expression. What he means is that he protested vigorously against anyone who davened using Havinenu. Now, obviously, it isn't that Abaye was opposed to it in, let's say, in an emergency situation, but he felt that if there is no emergency, then in that particular case, it was wrong to use an abridged version, but instead you should say a complete version of the davening of the Shmoneh Esrei. Omer Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said again the name of Shmuel. Kol Hashana Kula, and don't forget, I mean, Shmuel is the one who gave us the nusach over here of Havinena, right? Mm-hmm. But now Shmuel adds in the following comment, which is quoted by Rav Nachman. Kol Hashana Kula Mispala Lord of Havinena. Throughout the year, a person can say Havinenu, Chutz b'motzei Shabbos, b'motzei Yomim Tovim, except for the conclusion of Shabbos or the conclusion of Yontif, Mipnei Shetzorach Lomar Havdolah b'chein Hadoas, because you have to recite the Havdolah in Chonin Hadoas. So, where in Havinenu is there room to put in, you know, Havdolah? So that therefore he says, on those occasions, you know, when Shabbos is over, when Yom Tov is over, and you have to say Havdalah, so you cannot use Havinenu. Maskev lo Rabba Bar Shmuel. So Rabba Bar Shmuel disagreed with this opinion expressed in the name of Rav. He says, the name of Bracha of Yisrael Yatzbo. He says, why can't we say it as a separate Bracha all by itself? In other words, first we, you know, we started to say, let's say Baruch Atah Hashem Bokel HaKadosh, right? Then make the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam Amadim Ben Kadosh Chol, etc., 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 right? Baruch Atah Hashem Amadim Ben Kadosh Chol, and then continue with Havinenu. This is what he is suggesting. Milo Tanam. Didn't we learn, for example, that Rabbi Akiva Omer Baruch Revis with Deyatzmo, that according to Rabbi Akiva, Havdalah should be recited as a fourth bracha, in other words, as bracha number four in the order, and it should be recited as a separate bracha all by itself, so that this was Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So, therefore, what is Rabbi Bar Shmuel saying? He's saying, look, Rabbi Akiva is a good guy, and he made the suggestion that you could say the bracha all by itself, so why shouldn't we do it that way? And while they were quoting, so they quote the fact, what? Rabbi Eliezer Meber Hodoa. Rabbi Eliezer said, not that you say Havdalah as a separate bracha, but he says, let's put Havdalah into Modim Anach Kulach. This is what Rabbi Eliezer said. Needless to say, nobody agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. And as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, well, while he had Rabbah agreeing with him, but we'll see the others are not happy with it. And this is what the Gemara says. They say, Atu kol hashana kulo miabdinin ki Rabbi Akiva. Tell me, all year round, do we do what Rabbi Akiva has said? In other words, you know, to recite Havdalah as a separate bracha by itself in the Shmoneh Esrei. The hashta nami navi, that we should also now do it. In other words, if we want to say Havinenu instead of that, right? So is this what we should be doing? We don't do it anyway. Kol Hashana Kula, my Tamla Din Krabi Akiva. So now they analyze and say, why all year round do we not do, according to the suggestion of Rabbi Akiva, in other words, say Havdalah is a separate bracha by itself? So the answer is, Tmane Sway Tikkun, Shasrei lo tikun. It's because our sages ordained that we should say 18 brachos, and they did not ordain that we should say 19. Of course, we would have to change it today to say that our sages, ordained that we should say 19, but they didn't ordain that we should say 20. Okay. So Hochanami, here too, Sheva Tikkun, if we used Havineinu, okay? So our sages said you can say 7 brachas, but Tamani lo Tikkun, 8 they did not say that you should say. When do we say Sheva brachas? So we already saw that there's a good precedent for it. Where? Shabbos and Yom Tov. When we say 7 brachas in the Shmones, with the exception of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which I talked about last week, whereas we see there the problem is the fact that what are you going to do, if you have Malchias, Zechronis, and Shofros, and yet basically there should be 7, so they decided instead of having 7 and 3, what they actually have is 9, because what they do is to combine the Kedushas Hayom, in other words the bracha in which we thank God for having made this festival day holy, in other words Yom HaZikaron, and we combine it with the theme of Malchus by saying Melech Al Kol Haaretz B'Kadosh Yisrael the Yom HaZikaron. Okay, so that gave us 9 brachas, but that's it, that's the limit. Of course we had one other exception, that is, as I told you, that the Mishnah and Tainus, the Moran Tainus, mentions that in case of extremely severe drought in Eretz Yisrael, they would then have special services of which they would add 6 additional brachas to the Shmona Esrei. And of course, this is what we learned last week, where they were looking for sources in the Bible which would show authorization for 7. The word kol, right? Seven times the word kol is mentioned.
Proof text.
Right. Or 18, the fact that, Hashem is mentioned 18 times in that capital. Right. In Mizvah Hashem, Hovel Hashem and the Elam, and so on, right. Or in the case of the 9, so they found it in the fact that Chana had 9 praises of God. And therefore, since Chana is intimately associated with Rosh Hashanah, as we learned that 3 barren women in the Torah were remembered by God and blessed with a child, Chana and Sarah and Rachel, right? So that therefore the fact that what Chana had to say in her prayers are appropriate to the theme of Rosh Hashanah. And I pointed out too, as a matter of fact, this is the Haftorah that we have for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And then finally, how about the 24? So we saw that that was in connection with the various expressions for prayer, a song, crying unto God, and so on, that Shlomo HaMelech had in his inauguration prayer. Okay? And we said that is appropriate because it's Rachmei. He needed special mercy from God, so that the doors of the temple would open so that the Ark could enter, and likewise we also need special favors from God. And incidentally, the Gemara mentions that they used to take the Ark, they would take the Oren out from the shul and they would put it into the main square of the city and have the prayers over there.
That's so, in the case of drought.
In the case of drought, right.
Really?
So, yeah.
In a public
prayer. Right, it was a public, people fasted. And they would have these special prayers that God, should remember us to pray.
I'm curious, where did they bring the Aron HaKodesh?
They put it right into the middle of the public square.
Which public square? Where?
Every town has a public square. Of course, here in Springfield we have a lot of public squares. But, you can consider Court Square as the main square in town, right?
This was in the Beit HaMikdash.
No. We're talking about in various towns when people would gather in order to say prayers.
In Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael. Right, absolutely. In fact, there are still some Siddurim which have special prayers for Atzirat Geshamim. In other words, where there isn't enough rain in Eretz Yisrael, where there is a drought, they add special prayers. So you'll find some of the Eretz Yisrael Siddurim And even some of the old Europeans are doing that happen.
They're not planning to do this now, though.
Well, they were considering doing something to add special prayers because of the drought situation.
They had a drought in Israel.
They had. This year was a very bad year, right? But here and there, rain fell. While I was in Eretz Yisrael, we had 3 days of rain over there. So instead of my considering it as a lack of cooperation on the part of nature, I praise God for the fact that Eretz Yisrael, which needs every drop of rain, thank God at least it was raining over there. Okay, so Maskeflo Marzutra. So Marzutra doesn't like this idea either. He says, "V'dichlo michlal havinenu harishem elakenu hamadim in kodesh l'kol." He says, "Why can't we phrase it on Motzoi Shabbos and say havinenu harishem elakenu? You know, grant us knowledge, O Lord our God, hamadim in kodesh l'kol, who makes the separation between holy and profane?" Kasha. So the Gemara says over here is like the kasha. In other words, there is no definite answer given at this moment to that remark of Masutra. Alright. Omar Rabbi Barabai. Rabbi Barabai said, Kol Hashana Kula Mispela Lolev Havinenu. He says, you can pray Havinenu throughout the year, Chutz Bimos Hakshomim, except in the days when we need the rainy season. In other words, that period of time when we say Talamot Alibrata. Incidentally, you know that the Gemara in Tainus tells us that in Eretz Yisrael, they begin saying Talamotar on the seventh day of the month of Cheshvan, which is much earlier than what we do, because we follow the custom in Babylonia, which was not so dependent upon rain as Eretz Yisrael was, because Babylonia had rivers, had canals, just as we had.
Tigers and Euphrates,
right,
and so on.
Correct. You know, as compared to Eretz Yisrael, where it's the rainfall and, you know, there's hardly any river. I mean, here and there you have a few natural springs in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not Gevaldik, you know. They are absolutely dependent upon the rainfall from heaven.
And they also have desalination plants, too.
Yes, yes, they do have. But, you know, on a how large a scale can you have it? It's an extremely expensive thing to do. So, in the rainy season, that is the time when we have to pray for rain, we cannot say Havinenu mipnei shetzorach lomar she'elo bebirkas Hashem, because we have to ask God the same talmotu lebrocho in the blessing, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Baruch Hashanim. Maskeflo Marzutra. So again, Marzutra disagrees. Says v'nichlo michlal v'dashdenu nesatzecho. Let's get back to the nusach of Havinenu. Okay. It says, why can't we include it where it says over there, Vedashnenu binos hatzecho, in other words, give us, you know, fertility in the fields of thy land, the same talamota, and also grant us dew and rain. So the answer is, why don't we do it over there? It says, Osilat Rudi. But that's going to mix us up. You know, if you're trying to remember how to daven, remember again, without a sitter, right? You're trying to remember, well, how should I phrase it? So if you're going to start in to add additional phrases, it's going to mix you up. So they say, Hochi habdol v'chinados nami osilat rudei. So if that's the case, the suggestion that was made before by Marzutra, why don't we say atochinim das, right? Hamadil in kodesh l'chol. So that would also oscillate today. That would also disturb the person who's trying to remember how to daven. So he gives an answer. He says, Amre Hosom. So they said, there, in other words, in Atachainain, you know, we say Havdalah, says, Kevan the Asya Bitchilas Luso, inasmuch as it comes at the beginning of the Shmona Esrei, Lo Matri. Then it wouldn't cause that much of a disturbance. Why? Because a person could remember, if he has a mind beginning, he'll remember something a little more easily than he would Hocho here, Kev and Dasya B'emsatzlo. So since it comes in the middle of the prayers, then Matrit. To try to remember to add something in the middle of it, this is much more difficult to do. Well, look, we have that experience too. When you start in to say Talamotar, right? you have to get yourself used to doing it. And finally, you know, you're not saying the same bracha, you're finally saying the same talamot, particularly if you try to do it without a sitter. But even with a sitter, if you might wander someplace in Ganarsi or something like that, you know, we don't always have them with the greatest kavanah, unfortunately. Things do happen, you know, that distract us. So,
The women.
No, after all, in the middle of the week, we rarely see a woman over here, with the exception of Sarah Ruth. But it's harder to remember. And the same thing I find, you know, when Pesach comes and you start in to remember that you have to go back again to say the same bracha. The first tendency is to say the same talamot in the bracha, and then you have to correct yourself.
Same bracha. Seems to come more easily.
Yeah. Well, depends what time of the year it is.
I'm getting a little lost. So what is the significance of the Yomot HaGshamim? I mean,
we already know that in Borech Aleinu, Arashem Lekinus HaShon Azul, is a combination of the same Talamot and Baruch. I mean, it becomes, you know, something that we can habituate ourselves to, because there is the right place where it belongs. But when you have a Havineinu, where, first of all, how many people are saying Havineinu? And secondly, you know, you have to get used to a Nusach. It doesn't allow for it in the beginning. That's what Shmuel said. Says Kol Hashanah Kula, he himself who composed Havineinu and said that you could do it all year round, but he says, but not Motzoi Shabbos Yontiv, and not in the Mos Hakshamim, because you have to say the whole thing so that you can get in the proper phrasing. This is
the thing. Very much. Maybe you have to say the whole thing. I don't find.
You have to say a complete Shmon Esrei so that you could get the phrase the same Talmud you documented, or you know Atoch and Anton. Okay.
The word means the word, exactly. As opposed to what I thought, the tune.
The word itself started off right is Nusach Tefillah, okay? In other words, it's the right way to phrase the prayers, okay? Then, from that particular point, they had the word being used in other senses as well. In other words, as you pointed out, let's say traditional melodies that were used for different parts of the service, whether it's a weekday or a Shabbos or a Yontif, whatever it may be, this is, you know, a chazan has to know the nusach, and I hate to tell you how many American chazanim don't know nusach.
Crazy.
But also the melodies that we distinctly associate with it, okay? I mean, you have to know that, for example, on, let's say, Shalosh V'Golem. This is the Nusach, okay? But on Rosh Hashanah, this is Nusach. Well, what are you going to do to Aleinu? You have to know the Nusach. Right?
They don't teach that in modern tutorial schools. So.
Well, they do to a certain extent, but you know, they go in too much for compositions and recitations of recitative, or whatever you call it, you know.
Recitative.
So that, you know, at times you find, look, we had a chazan over here who could only daven from notes. Everything was written out. I mean, eventually learned how to daven without it. But when he came, he had the notes from beginning to end. Everything in English with notes. He was very good at reading notes, you see.
But he was a regular chazan here?
Huh? He was hired as a chazan. He was here for several years.
Is that right?
So I say, today he knows how to daven without it too. He learned. Springfield was an excellent
He went to the Ifrit class.
Well, I took the crash course. But
he was a man from Brooklyn.
Yes.
You want to know an interesting fact? My uncle delivered him as a baby.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to demean, you know, but I'm telling you, it's a fact. After all, I've been, you know, above the yamen, and I see.
What he's using.
Yeah, he has a book for Marva, a book for Shachris, a book for this, a book for that, whatever it was, and so on. And this is how he does it. And I corrected, I told him, you know, you're not doing this right. You know why he wasn't doing it right? Because he had done it from a conservative sitter. And as a result, you know, certain things that we say in our own davening, he didn't say it. He didn't know that there is to be a difference in some. So that's part of the problem. Whereas, you know, you should really, if you're a chazan, you should have it in your bones.
Yeah.
This is the way it should
be. I came down with Kavanah from a transliteration.
Well, you do it as a job, unfortunately.
He taught the choir, though, at that time.
Oh, he was excellent as a choir leader.
Played through
excellent.
Talking about.
Absolutely.
Reading the music and
right,
bringing
right,
in the music,
yeah,
he brought
right
in the choir.
That he had an excellent background.
Many years ago.
I don't want to negate that. That was a strength.
I remember how
he came
and how he progressed.
Right. There's no question. As I say today, I know he wouldn't have that right. Okay.
This way,
how many years ago?
I have a question here, a very excellent question.
15 years ago, something like that.
Does that fit into the category of Lashon Hara or Rechivut? I think this is a maaseh.
I'm not naming a person.
It's a fact.
He didn't name it.
True,
he didn't name the person. He didn't name the person.
Not only that, but I said that since then he's learned a great deal.
Did you know who it was? Because you identified him as being your own person. Well, I don't want to say anything. I mean, the guy from Brooklyn, the guy who took the choir to sing, the guy who...
You know something, you're going to fly that up and down.
Well, in that case, it's only Lashon Hara because you guys
today,
don't know.
You don't know.
I'm the only one. And,
so
I take it as a fact, an ufta. I mean, it's a fact.
Well, that's another story.
Well, it's the same situation. You go to a synagogue, all right, so sometimes the chazan or the Baal Kriya knows enough. But you can go in some synagogues, you'll never hear that. Reading the Torah, right?
Yeah, you're just
well, then not reading it right.
The only thing is,
I
would say
they're reading the Hebrew, but not reading it right.
I would say that the first obligation is somebody to be able to read it accurately, but read it.
Yeah.
Now you read it this past week.
Yeah.
Portions where he moved along because it was a double cedric, but I think deliberately in certain areas did not bring out the accuracy of the nuts of all through the line. Is this correct?
Yeah, occasionally I slip the floor or whatever it may be. Right.
Nothing.
The words
Yeah.
are more important
correct.
Than
correct.
The melody.
Yeah.
But still, you try to be as close as you possibly can, both in the words and the melody. No question about that. Yeah. But the words definitely have priority.
Basically, your point, though, is, of course, that I appreciate very much. So you say in the center of the Ajur Shiryomi, where on that portion there's a different nusav.
Yeah, correct.
And
I mean, the tradition says, and
it
comes out of Yoshir, there are certain verses that you use a different melody, correct. Absolutely right. Just as, for example, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, our nusach is that we have a special melody just for the high holidays, rather than to do it the ordinary way. Now, not every Jewish area, you know, followed that tradition, but this is our tradition, you know, that for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have to use a different one. All right, so that then the Nusach then becomes, as we said, you know, it's used now in its second meaning, namely, you know, how you should phrase the melodies, okay? But there's a third one, and that is, you know, the form of prayer is followed by Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, Nusach Hari, Nusach that is followed by Spanish Portuguese Jews, Nusach of the Eidot HaMizrach, in other words, Oriental Jews, North African Jews, and so on. And, you know, there are variations in the various, you know, texts, even the Brachas of the Shmona Esrei, while the theme is the same in all of them, but the wording varies a little bit from one Nusach to the other.
Nusach Echud? A unified Nusach?
Well, in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, there are those who say we should have a Nusach Me'uchad, in other words, right, united, you know, Nusach that'll be good for everybody in Eretz Yisrael, which is actually based upon Nusach Sfard, okay? Now, some do and some don't. In the army, for example, this is supposed to be, you know, they make minyanim in the army, so this is the nusach that they're supposed to follow. What we call nusach Sfard, okay? But go into any place in Yerushalayim and you will discover that the Dishul davens Nusach Ashkenaz, and this one davens Nusach Sfarad, and this one davens Nusach Teiman, and this one davens Nusach. You know, whatever the group who formed that particular shul desires, that's what it is. And then I've also davened where the person who gets up to daven decides whether they're going to be davening Nusach Sfarad or Nusach Ashkenaz.
That's very liberal.
You know, I guess I can. I'll have to waste time. I mean, I'm really digressing from our learning. Yeah. But Jay Berkowitz gave me the name of a wonderful shul. It's called Beit Yosef Yerushalayim. It's Herzog and Chernikovsky and all that. So I talked to my brother-in-law. And he said, "Well, which side of the street are you davening on?" What are you bothering me for? I mean, what kind of question is that? I said, "I'll go off the shul the first morning. I'll go inside." I went in the first morning. There's this beautiful shul, little shul, it's like a shul. And I walked in, and about 2 minutes after Shacharis, I knew I was hopelessly lost. So I went in on the Sephardi side of the street. What they had two shuls, the same shul. One side of the street was Sephardi, the other side was Ashkenazi. If you went to the right hand side, it looked like Kadimah's, like, you know, an older building, you felt at home. You went to the other side, you know, they're starting in with Tehillim. They read about 40 Tehillim before the, you know, Shacharis started. And I'm telling you this, it really, not to go on and on and like this, but you know, somebody who's really learned can follow the Sephardi Nusach, but you know, an ordinary person gets completely lost. I mean, completely. Their thing is about three times as long as ours, and it's really something. But here was the same shul. Mm-hmm. They had two different Nusach.
Yeah, right.
But I guess I wasted a lot of time on that.
He went to the synagogue in Italy, and the services there were much shorter. You know, and they were Nusach Sfarad.
Yeah, they're Nusach Sfarad in Italy, right? Of course, there are variations within the Sfarad too. You realize that
these are all Iraqis.
I don't know what they use in Italy, but
they call that today. They call it Eidot HaMizrach.
Right.
In other words, they say that they call it the Oriental. The Oriental. All right. But thank God we're all Jews. And thank God that we're all davening, whether we're praying exactly this Nusach or that Nusach.
God understands it all.
Right. Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. So, getting back over here. All right. So, right. Okay. So he said, you know, that if you try to add it in the middle of Havineinu, you're going to get so mixed up that we shouldn't do it. Okay. Maskil of Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi also he disagrees, and he says, the name of Bishamayot Phil. He says, why don't we say the prayer for rain in Shomayot Tefilot? The Yomer Rab Tanchum, even as Rab Tanchum said, Omer Rab Asi, in the name of Rab Asi, says, Tor, Velahiski Gevuas Keshov Mitrias HaMeisim, what if a person forgot and did not say Mashiv HaRuach in the prayer for the revival of the dead? In other words, HaTogibor, okay? Which of course concludes with the Ruach Ruach HaTor Hashem HaKaya HaMeisim, that's why it's called Kiyas HaMeisim. Okay? So, what if he did not mention Mashiv HaRuach when, of course, he's supposed to say it, right, in HaTogibor? So, Machzirin Oso, then we compel him to begin the Shemoneh Esrei all over again. Okay? Of course, there are those who explain that Machzirin Oso may be that if he remembers before he said the conclusion of the Bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem HaKaya HaMeisim, then in that case, he doesn't have to go back again to, but to begin again, Ato Gibor Le'ol Hashem, and then say, remember this time to add, okay? So there are those who are more makele with that. But others say he has to repeat the entire Shemoneh Esrei, right? Or, She'ilo Bevirkas Hashonim, what if he forgot to say the request you know, for in other words, saying Talamot Levrocha in the blessing, you know, where we say Baruch Atah Hashem Avreich Hashonim, Ein Machzir Noso. We do not cause him to repeat that. Why? Because when it comes to Baruch Atah Hashem Shema Tefillah, before that, you know, in other words, when he gets to Shema Kaleinu, right? So he can then say the same Talamot Levrocha Pnei Adoma. You have to realize that in general, you see, in Shema Kaleinu, it is permitted to add any kind of a personal request that you want them. Okay?
You also had a personal request in Rifoeno, too.
Yes, correct. But in Rifoeno, it has to be specifically for healing.
Right.
Okay? Whereas in Shema Kaleinu, it could be any kind of a personal request. If you feel like adding it, you can add it over there before Kiyat Rosh Hashanah Tfilas Abu Tzibarach.
Does it have to be in Hebrew?
Huh?
Does it have to be in Hebrew?
No, it could be in Hebrew.
Say it in English about it.
Yeah, personal.
Okay. So therefore, he says, so why can't we, so why don't we have to repeat, let's say, you know, Borech Aleinu, if we've already made the Baruch Atah Hashem and Borech Hashanim, right?
Talamotor.
But we can add Talamotor in the middle of Shema Kaleinu. So therefore, we don't have to repeat, you know, to go back. Okay?
But that's not okay.
Yeah, this is what he's saying. All right? The Habdolah B'chinah Doas, and how about saying Habdolah B'chinah Doas? So let's say you forget on Saturday night to say Atochen Antonu. Do you have to repeat the Shmon Esra and add it? No, you don't have to. Why? Ein Masir don't say you don't have to repeat it. Why? Because you can still say the Habdolah when you do it over the cup of wine.
Right.
So that therefore, if you've got to say the Shmon Esra, you're Yotze with saying the Habdolah right that you make over the cup of wine.
Right.
So they say, hold it, buddy. They say, Toh Shani. If you made a mistake and you forgot, so then you have makeups. In other words, you can say, you know, Talamotor in the middle of Shemei Atfilah, right? Or you can, if you forgot to say Habdolah, then in that case, forget about it. You can do it again, you know, when you're going to make Habdolah anyway over the cup of wine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's only in a case where you forgot. But deliberately to leave it out?
No.
Or deliberately to change the place where you're going to say it? No, that's Gaitish to say. That's what they say.
Where do you
see
Talamotor?
Talamotor? No, it's in
Borech Aleinu.
In the middle of the regular, right.
Oh, but what if you missed that? I guess
if you missed that, then you can say it in Shema Kaleinu.
That's what I am. Okay,
right, it's not written over there, but in the middle, you know, before Kiyato Shemet V'Samchi Sobarachamim, this is the place where you could add personal requests.
Okay.
Like, for example, on a fast day, we say Aneinu with that particular point. But you'll find in some Siddurim, you know, some of the old-fashioned Siddurim, they have a prayer for Panosa over there. You're not making a living, so you could add a special prayer for Panosa in the middle of Shema Kaleinu and so on, okay? So you could say any personal prayer that you would like to, any personal request in the middle of the Shema Kaleinu.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that.
All right, Gufa, getting back again to this problem that we're discussing. Rab Tanchum said the name Rab Asi. He said, "Tor v'lo hiski gevuras kishov b'tchias ha'meisim, machziru naso." Okay, he says, if you made a mistake and you did not mention mashavaruach in the second bracha of the Shmon Esra, then machziru naso. You have to start over again. Okay, she'elo bebirkas hashonim. If you forgot to say talamotor in the middle of mevorech hashonim, you know, borech aleinu, then ein masir nasov im neshayochel yomer bishumei tefillah. We do not have him repeat, you know, to go back, because he could say it in shumei tefillah. The habdolah bechinen hadoas in masir nasov, right? And if he forgot to say habdolah in chinen hadoas, we do not have him repeat it again. If neshayochel yomer alakos, because he can say it over the cup of wine. This is what we said a moment ago, but they're getting back to the statement now, because now they have a contradictory statement, as we'll see. What is the contradictory statement? So in the Tosefta, they had a different version. Tosefta said, Tor, the Mesmer, they asked the Kasha, you know, from this contradictory statement. It says, first of all, Tor, v'lo hiski gevuras kishov mitchias ha'meisim, machzir naso. If he made a mistake and he did not mention Mashav HaRuach, in the Bracha Tchiyas HaMeisim, he has to repeat it again. Okay? She'elo b'birkas hashonim machzir no. So you notice that this is different from the preceding version. It says that if you forgot to say Baruch Aleinu, if you forgot to say Talamoto Lebrocha in Baruch Aleinu, they make him repeat. V'habdolah b'chin ados, ein machzir no. So, but if he forgot Habdolah in chin ados, he does not have to repeat. Because he can do it. All right. So we see that it's the middle statement about, namely, the forgetting to say talamotor, where the Tosefta differs from the statement that was just stated before. So they say loikasha. Says no, it's not really a difficulty. You know, the fact that we have two different versions, ha biyochid, ha bitzibur. If a person is davening, he says, simply privately, then in that particular case, if he forgot, then what does he have to do? According to the Sefer, he has to
repeat
it. Okay? Or b'tzibur, but if he's davening with the congregation, right, he does not have to repeat it. So they say, b'tzibur maitamolo. So if he's davening with the congregation, why doesn't he have to repeat it? So the answer is the shomo mishaliach tzibur, because he can hear it from the chazum, and the chazum repeats, and he hears the chazum say the same talamotu lebrocha. If he is concentrating, to follow the chazum word by word, then he could be yaitse by listening to the chazum say these words.
So it's not that he can insert it in Shema Kolenu, it's because he hears the Baal Kri.
This is what
on the Mishnah.
You're right. Correct. This is what this statement says. Okay. This statement says this. Right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So they say Ihochi. If that's the case, Hai b'nei sheyocheli omer mishmiyat tefilah. Why do they have to say? Why did they say because he can say it in Shema Tefillah? Why don't they simply write the Nusach? In other words, why don't they say simply Bipnei Sheshamea Mishliach Tzibur? Right? Let the wording then be because he doesn't have to repeat because he's going to hear it from the cousin, right? So they say Ela Idebi Yochim. But rather, both versions apply to the individual. How so? Below Kashin says there's not a contradiction between the two. The one that says he has to repeat and the one that says he doesn't have to repeat because of Shemaya Tefillah. Right? He can say it there. Or the Itkar Kodim Shemaya Tefillah, if he remembered to say Talamotar before he concluded Shemaya Tefillah, then in that case what? Then he doesn't have to repeat Shemaya Tefillah. But ha the itka also shemaya tefillah. But what if he remembered after he'd already said Baruch Ator Hashem shemaya tefillah? Then in that particular case, he would have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, go back to where? About this, there's a question: should he go back just to Baruch Aleinu, or should he really go back to Ator Chonein? The prevailing opinion, I'll tell you, is really he should go back to Ator Chonein. Why? Because there is an opinion which says that the whole, each part of the Shemoneh Esrei acts as a unit. In other words, the first three brachas are a unit. Therefore, if you forgot to say something,
you don't have to go back
in the right. Let's say in Ato Gibor, you forgot. Like for example, we said, Masha Baruah. Okay. Then in that case, let's say that you forgot after you said Baruch Ata Hashem Chayim Meisim. Do you go back to Ato Gibor? No. You have to go back to where? Why? Because those three brachos, Ovos, Geburos, and Atokorosh, Rishim HaKodosh, this acts as one unit. Okay. The same thing. What would happen if you forgot Yalevi Yovan? Okay? Alright, we're not going into all the details. We'll say that for next week. Okay?
That's a.
But.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. I mean, it should be said where? In Ritzay, right? What happens if after you said, don't say that. That's not true. Okay, the answer is you should go back to Ritzay. But the exception is at night. At night you don't have to repeat. If you forgot Yalaviyah, you admire it, then you don't have to say it over again. This we'll learn in the Gemara. Okay? But in Shacharis or Mincha, if you forget it, then you have to go back to Ritzay.
because that is the beginning of its unit. Let's say, motive.
Oh, I always thought you had to go back to the very beginning.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. You had to start completely over.
No, you start from its say, in that sense. Because, as I say, that's why. Ah. So that this is the reason why they say also then that if he forgot to say Talamota, okay? If he got to say it and he didn't remember until after Shomea Tefillah, then in that case he should start with Atochinen. But of course, if he remembered before Shomea Tefillah, then he could say it right in that bracha.
If the Shmiach Tzibur starts to forget and then someone pulls out to remind him.
Yeah, you're right.
Technically, he should go back to Ritzay then.
You mean with the Aleviyavo?
If he misses the
Aleviyavo. If he hasn't said the bracha, the bracha yet, then he starts with the Aleviyavo. Right.
So it's just the bracha.
But if he said the bracha,
if he said Sechazeno and he said the bracha, you have to go back.
Yeah, but if he simply said the Sechazeno and then goes to Rachel and somebody yells out, hey, Aleviyavo, and he didn't say the bracha yet, then in that case, he can start in another Kinnokay. Aleviyavo. Right. Okay. So next week, then, we have decided that we'll come to Davin Mincha Maariv at 7:45, and then we'll learn afterwards. Okay?
Fine.
Seder.
Isn't that the bracha that we have
to translate? No. I was just curious. What does BMHMC stand for?
That's a...
Beis Medrash HaGodol?
No. It's the hospital which my son practices.
Uh-huh.
And it's a medical center.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Well, where? In case I want to get a discount there.
Discount it's on Long Island.
Can you tell us? Can you remember what it is?
I don't remember. I'll get the name. The name will come to me. My memory is...
No, it's Beis HaGodol Medical Center.
It sounds good.
BMHMC. BMHMC.
Okay, so we shall start from the top line on Chof Tes Omid Beis, right? This is where we got last time. Right. Okay, remember that last week, the last thing that we were talking about was, you know, what the whole problem about if you forgot to say Talamotu, okay? And the question is, what do you do? So one thing that we saw is that you could say Talamotu in Shema Kelein, okay? And then, what happened if you forgot to say it in Shema Kelein? So in this particular case, there was a difference of opinion. But we saw at the bottom of Chof Tes Amud Aleph, okay, that it says over there, Bebirkas Hashonah Masiyun Asur. In other words, that you have to start all over again if you forgot to say it altogether. But there are those...
If you got to say Talamotu?
Talamotu, yeah. That was what we were talking about in the other one, okay? Yeah. Then there was another one which said, another opinion which said that, no, you could be spared if, for example, you're davening with a minion and you hear the chazan say it, then by listening attentively to him, so you could be yotze with it. So in that case, then you won't have to go and recite the whole Shmoneh Esrei over again. But the general opinion is that with
Brookhaven Medical Hospital Medical Center.
Oh, okay.
Quick review.
Yeah.
The Masheva Ruach.
Masheva Ruach.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Then you have to go back again.
To the line before.
Well, it depends where.
It
depends where. Right.
Yeah. What's
okay.
The
if you are saying Baruch Atah Hashem Chayei Hameisim, right? In that case, you should go back again to the beginning of Elokeinu Lutz and the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Right.
Oh, we have to.
You brought it from the show. You took it out of the show.
No, this is my own personal table model.
Okay.
I don't need to take it out.
Because we have one like that too over here.
Yeah.
Check in. Now, if we miss Masheva Ruach, where do we go back to?
It depends
okay, where. How far are you davening?
Otherwise you go back to the Togibor, exactly.
Yeah,
and you just say, you know, as long as you didn't say the bracha, okay? All right, so now we have a somewhat similar problem with the question of, you know, Yalla V'Yavoi.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is what they're dealing with in the next little section. Omer Rabbi Tamchum, Omer Rabbi Asim, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay? Rabbi Tamchum said in the name of Rabbi Yaz, of Rabbi Asi, who said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi. And what did he say? He said, Tor, Salai Hiske Shavosh Chodesh, Ba'avoda. What if a person made a mistake and he forgot to mention the Yalla V'Yavoi in the Avoda? Avoda means, of course, in this case, Ritzei. It means specifically Ritzei.
It does.
Right, but this is the official name of Ritzei.
Oh, really? The Avoda?
Yeah, right. Oh. You see, each of the paragraphs has an official name.
Ah.
Like, for example, the first one is called Ovos, the second one is called Gevuros, the third one is called Kedushas Hashem, and so on, all right? And then the next group, they have either official names or unofficial names. Like, for example, we learned Birkas Hashonim, the blessing of the year. This, of course, is Boruch Aleinu, okay? But some of the others are simply known by the main theme that they have, like Teshuvah or Slichah, whatever it may be, or the most common, actually, simply to call it by the first words of the paragraph, just as we do with Sedra and things like that, that we use the first word, and, you know, that's the official name, so the same thing. If I would say Slach Lono, everybody knows. If I say Reinyor, Veonyenu, and so on, all right. We know what we're talking about, okay? So, you could either call it Birkas Hashonim, or you could call it Boruch Aleinu, okay? All right. Now, when it comes, and then we saw that, you know, the last of the intermediate brachas is called officially Shemaya Tefillah, okay? Because of the ending of the bracha. All right. Then, from this point on, again, there are three official names. These names that we find already in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah refers to them.